Blog Talk Radio.
How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost, when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent." Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness, before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. A repentance.
Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. This is Sister
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I see that we have just one on the prayer line already, and I will begin because the Bible says where there's two or three, he's in the midst. So if that one person is on here, we can begin, and we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Please be in prayer with me because I can't do nothing but Christ that is in all of us. He's able to help us. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, just to say the motto prayer first. And we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom to come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Heavenly Father, as we bring the model prayer to the prayer line, and just to lift this prayer up to you, Father, because we had a Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ, which is called, Father, the Christ. And, Father, as we come to you in prayer, thanking you first for your only begotten Son, whom you have given to a dying world that we all could be saved. So, Heavenly Father, now we asking you, Father, to pour out your Holy Spirit up on this prayer line, Father, that we may gain the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that he said for us to have. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy that you have bestowed upon us. Oh, Father, forgive us for our sins. Help us, Father, to love you, to be Christ-like, the example that he left here for us. Father, you've given your Son to show the world what and how they must act and how they're going to gain the tree of life. So, Heavenly Father, I'm praying tonight, Lord, as we bring the topic, the new birth. Father, the scriptures tell us to examine ourselves. So, Father, let us examine ourselves with these scriptures, the new birth tonight. So, Father, if there's anyone, Father, need to be born again. So, Sister Leola is coming to you, Father, in this case to search the scripture to see whether or not she is right. She's been born again. So, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help my sisters and brothers because we all want to be born again, and because the Bible says that if we're not born of the water and the Spirit, and as we search these scriptures, read over them, and Father teaching us, giving us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, to show us how we should let these scriptures lead us. Father, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you for what he has done for us down here on this earth, and allowing your Holy Spirit to help us and to train us the way we should go. So, Father, forgive us. And, Lord, we just ask that you would touch the heart of your people tonight and allow them to share. Allow them to testify the goodness that you have been so good to them through these weeks, through these days. Oh, Father, we know so many that done passed and gone. They don't have that opportunity to give you praise, to thank you, and to talk with your blessings that you have given to us. So thank you. Oh, thank you, Father, for all the blessing. Bless this prayer line, and bless each and everyone that come to hear your word tonight, and even bless the speaker, Lord, that he, Brother Akeem, oh, he brings such powerful message. So I'm asking you to bless each and every one, because what he's bringing to us, Lord, is the time of the end. He's bringing to us how we're going to be deceived, how so many things happen in this world. And, Father, we ask him that the Holy Spirit fall on him afresh and help him, lead and guide him, and that we may understand what the word of God is trying to teach us. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, which is Yeshua the Savior, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I tell you, I'm reading from John, chapter John, and verse 3, chapter 3, and verse 3 through 6. I'm reading about the new birth. I was doing my little devotion on the new birth. And if you would like to share anything, you know, the Bible tells us that brother and sisters, we are brethren, we are like Bereans searching the scriptures, and we help one another, because what you may bring to the prayer line to teach me, you know, it's a blessing. And then what I share to help you is all a blessing, that God wants us to search these scriptures. He wants us to read and study for ourselves. So let's read, because I want to begin to open the line for my brothers and sisters soon as possible. So we ask in the Lord, oh, to bless his word. Bless your word tonight, Father. In the name of Yeshua again, amen. I'm reading from John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6, amen. And it's talking about, and it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, I can start from the beginning for the lack of words. Some people like you to start from the beginning. And it says, hold on a second. Let me make sure everyone can hear me. And I'm hoping I'm not too loud, because sometimes my voice can be kind of loud, and I'm hoping I'm not. And I'm reading John chapter 3, verses 1. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? And can he enter the second time into his mother womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I'm going to give you one more scripture in reference, two scriptures in reference to this one, Mark 16, and then I will open the line for my brothers and sisters. Mark 16, verse 16, in reference to being born again. Okay. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, Acts 2:38. Okay, then Peter said unto them, repent. Let me make sure, okay, I want to make sure my line was open. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, brothers and sisters, as I was reading in my study Bible, I just want to read you this little answer here. It says, it is the new birth experience which brings about the change from death to life. Read John 5:24. So the repentant sinner must start at the point when Christ gives him eternal life. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. And as I was reading this, brothers and sisters, I'm asking myself, I'm seeking in my heart, asking the Lord, Lord, is there anything in Sister Leola? Lord, I need to come to you, and as the scripture says, turn away from sin and come to him in sorrow, sorrow of the heart, and come to him with the true heart. So I'm asking you to lift me up in prayer, because it's no time to waste, sisters and brothers. Every day we hear someone done went to sleep, or someone done fell on the floor, someone committed an accident. And I'm sorry to say, I might be in a little tears, because when it comes to a true repentance, or the Bible say being born again, that our spirit and our heart have to be right with God, because God said nothing but the pure in heart shall see him. Sisters and brothers, I want nothing more than to see my Savior, my Father, for myself. I don't want nobody to have to tell me about him. I don't want nobody to have to say, or I don't even want to hear the word says, I know you're not, because these words, it's going to be sad for my family, that saying that, oh, she was in the Bible, she studied the Bible, and you see the Bible has, Christ said, he said, a lot of people, he's going to say it, get away from me, because, you know, you're not right in your heart. So we need to pray for one another, and these things that Christ is telling us, he said, don't take no thoughts for tomorrow, be ready, and keep his word. Keep, sisters and brothers, I just want to thank the Lord for the Bible, for this word, because I have nothing else to convict me. Should I turn to a man? No, because a man don't know me. But reading these scriptures speaks to my heart. These scriptures tell me who I am. So I'm so grateful for the Bible. So I'm going to begin to open the line. And like I said, Let's lift one another up in prayers. And my son Jarvis in prayer, which I try to talk to him and see him, but I hadn't seen him this week. But I'm asking you to lift him in prayer. I'm grateful to my husband being here with us when I know I had other friends that been in car accident. Sister Gloria, her car was totally lost, but by God's grace, she's here today. Sister Cassandra, that another member that go to church, but she's gone today. And my another friend, Sister Menon, she fell to the floor and she died. So all these things, sisters, no date, nothing, the next second is not promised, but let us be right with our Lord. So let's open the line, and I want to thank you for being patient, and we're going to begin to open the line. We ask you to press 1, and your line can be open. Maxie, my sisters and brothers, if you like to share, you can press 1, and your line can be open. Amen. We're going to open the line for 518-951. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Okay. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Good evening, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. God is so good. He's so great. I am so grateful to know that we can join here this evening to fellowship with the Lord. The Lord said, where two or three gather together doing the things concerning his will, he is in the midst. We know that he is here with us, and we only have to trust him. As my dear sister is talking, a new creature, he said, when we become a new creature, old things are past and all things become new. So as a new creature, as repentance from sin, each one of us are sinful with sinful thoughts. We are sinful, but we thank God. I thank God that I have a Savior,
yes.
A Savior that I can come to and that I can present all my sins. And he knows,
yes.
Because he knows my heart, that he can wash away our sin, and he promised that we all have to get victory over sin. So my prayer this
yes.
evening for each one of us to come to him daily, minutely and hourly, not just one time or two times, but we have to go up to him daily, minutely in prayer. As he said, come, let us reason together. Although our sin is like scarlet, he can make it white as snow. The Lord wants to wash away our sin. The Lord wants us to be like him, so that we will be able to go out and share his love
mm-hmm.
to others and to draw them to him. So I want to thank Sister Leola for that reading. Brothers and sisters, God is so good. As we listened a while ago, how many people died in car accident? How much people died during COVID-19? But we can say that, you know what, God have spared our life all during these times, the illness and the plague that is falling around. God had spared our
mm-hmm.
life, and we just cannot take it for granted. All we have
yes,
to do
Lord.
Is to continue to praise him and to give him thanks for what he has done. I really have some praise report today, and you know what? Our life that we live, as God have given us life, health, strength, breath, provide for us food, shelter, clothing, and everything, you know, it's time for us to give him praise when we saw the things that he has done, how he is working within us, providing for us, protecting us, keeping us, allow us, Lord, to just see his glory. So I just want to give God thanks. Yes, my praise report is today. I was here this morning, and my dear brothers and sisters of this light, I got a call, and the call is from one of my church family daughter, my church daughter. And she said, Sister Powell, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, you will be over. I said, sure, I will be over. I am going to bring up your grandbaby to you to look for you. And I said, okay. And my grandbaby was Aubrey. Right, Harbor was one of the little ones, them that my church grandbaby, who I took care of. And my dear brothers and sisters, she came at the door and I opened the door. And I am telling you, you saw that joy in that her face and the eyes of that little child. She run into my arms and she hugged and she kissed and she hugged and she was so excited. I tell you that it brings joy in my heart, and also not joy in my heart alone, but it brought tears came down, you know, to see that little child. I haven't seen her for over 2 years, actually, from the virus started, right? I haven't seen her. Yes, I think I glimpsed her one time, but you know what? She still remember. And we went into the living room, and I sat on the couch, and she came right in my hand, and she was just hugging and just hugging and just, you know, and we said, no, oh, come, let us pray. And my brothers and sisters on this line, if you heard that little child and the way in which she prayed, not a baby prayer, that was not a baby prayer. She had prayed a big person prayer to the Lord, giving thanks that she came to see her grandmother and how she's so happy and how blessed grandma, and it was so much. And she were here with me around 1.5 hours. We sit down, play. She knew where her aunt Sophie. She was trying to get Aunt Sophie, but she left a message. Aunt Sophie, I am here. I come to look for you, and I don't find you. And she left that message. And she went and looked. She know where her boxes with her little toys and so. And she went in and she took her little toys and she bought it, and she was so joyful, brothers and sisters. And after they were here, she brought a card. And she brought the card, and she gave me her little gift, and I say thank you. And in that card, if you see how that she writes on the card, Grandma, I love you, I miss you, I hope God will bless you. She writes on that little card. She's 5 years old, you know, her kind of writing. And I just want to give God thanks, and I'm asking my brothers and sisters, let us pray for these little ones, and let us really love these little ones, because you know what? They can bring so much joy to you. In your heart, you know they're there, so you misses them. So this week, I can say, I saw my 04 grand Naomi, I saw Adra, and I saw Denise and Aubrey. And those are the 4 little ones, the last one, them that leave out. And I'm so thankful for them. And I'm just going to offer a word of prayer on their behalf. Let's pray. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, I just want to thank you for your love, your mercies, your kindness. I saw your love, Lord, because you went on that cross for us. Your blood was sacrificed, is shed for us, Lord, because of that love to save us from sin. And when I look and I saw those 4 little children, Lord, I saw the love in their little eyes, in their heart. They extended, dear Lord, by showing the joy within them, dear Father. And Father, I give you thanks and praise, because I know it was my strength, Lord, to take care of those 4 children, dear Lord. Sometimes when I look and I saw, dear Father, I just have to say, Father, thank you, Lord, to show these children love, compassion, care, Lord Jesus, that they could demonstrate that love. Even how many years, Lord, you have not seen them, but the love that they have shown, dear Father. I'm asking you for your protection towards Aubrey and Hadro, Jojo, and Denise, dear Lord, and others, not only those 4, but dear Lord, I present them to you. And also my 2 precious ones, Sister Brenda, little ones, them, dear Lord. I don't know those little ones, but dear Father, the other day she said to me that we were talking, I love Sister Powell. Lord, continue to bless them, dear Lord, while we sing songs for them and we show them the love that you want us, because you said to us, these little children is going to lead the way. So I just want to thank you for them. Bless them. Keep them, Lord. And not only those four, Father, I present these children. They are yours, Lord. You took them in your arms. You look into their face. While the disciples were troubled when you have done it, but you said, suffer these little ones to come unto you. You love them so much so that you want us to demonstrate your character to them. So bless, keep, guide, and protect them, we pray. We thank you for them, dear Lord. They are your precious jewels, and they are your light, that they can go out and shine the light that they have within them and draw their other little friends to you. Thank you again for hearing. Bless us this night on this line. Bless every brothers and sister who joined tonight. You know every heart, every home, every individual. And as my dear sister asks for prayer for Jarvis and her daughter and granddaughters and grandson, Lord, we ask you to pour your blessings upon him and keep him, guide him, keep him from danger out there on the street. Cover him under your blood. Give him the warmth that he needs. And also bless each and every one of us who join this line. We are not going to call out their names. You know every name because of time, but you know every one of us who join. And allow us to be faithful, dear Father, because if we be faithful to you, we will enter into that eternal rest with you. If we be faithful to you, we will be called our patient thing. And if we be faithful with you, you told us, here are the patient of the saints. Here are days that keep your commandment and have the faith of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, you want us to be faithful. Cover us under your robe of righteousness, we pray. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my life.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sister Powell. Brothers and sisters, the love that pours out from the hearts of brothers and sisters. I just want to, I'm so grateful to have you for friends and to be on the prayer line, to learn more how to love and how to give love. So it is such a blessing to have someone to pray for you, continue to pray for you. Who knows? I am here. My husband is here. Everyone here on this prayer line, because we have been lifted up. You know the prayers that you prayed so many times, the prayers that Brother Rick has prayed for Jarvis. Don't you know Jarvis is alive today? And I'm like, Lord, thank you. And God, you keep praying for him, and I believe God will bring him out of this, and I'm grateful for the prayers. And not only Jarvis, I see so many on the streets like Jarvis, and the prayers we offer is for those that on the streets also. So we thank the Lord for what he's doing for his people. And brothers and sisters, you see how Sister Power always lifting up everyone, those little children she loved, even my little niece. She sang the songs to them. And she tells Sister Power, I love you. And that's what some people, some children need to hear, you know, how someone loved them and how someone is telling them that you're going to be something. You can do something. You can talk about Christ. So it's such a blessing. So I just want to thank God for that. Thank you, Sister Powell, for offering that prayer. Thank you for teaching us how to handle those little ones, because you know there's so many that don't have the patience for little ones, because I know I work with some little ones. I work with the kids in daycare. So I'm just grateful that I listen to you and I learn to have that patience with children. So thank you. And may God continue to give you that blessing. And I'm waiting on my sisters and brothers to press 1, and your line could be open. And I'm just going to share this this other scripture. No one has pressed 1, so I'm going to share this other scripture. It's Romans 12 and verse 2. And it says, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Ephesians 4 and 23 and 24, 22, 23, and 24, that ye may put off concerning the formal conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And these scriptures will teach you about that new birth as we are changed, and we allow the Lord to change us and put it on this new man. So I'm grateful that these scriptures help us and change us and put us in the right way with God. So thank you so much. And we have others that's pressed one. So let us open the line, amen, for 518-744. Your line is open. Amen. Sister Powell, your line is still open. Always leave it open. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and just sitting here listening to you and Sister Powell, and just thanking the Lord for my brothers and sisters on this line. And Sister, you mentioned your son Jarvis, and I know it really pulled at your heart to see that happening. But Sister, I know that God is working with Jarvis, and we'll lift him up in prayer here in just a minute again, because you know what, time is short, and the Lord needs young men like Jarvis who have been at the lowest place to come back and to give a testimony how God lifted them out of that place. And so I just believe with all my heart that the Lord is going to lift up your son. He is going to heal him, and he is going to have a testimony like none other. And I just praise the Lord. I got to see Ashley just the other day. I went to her apartment, and she's got a nice little apartment, and she had all three of her children over for the first time, and it's probably been almost 3 years since she's had all three of her children together. And she was just so happy about that, and I'm just pleased for her, pleased that the Lord has brought her out of the darkness that she was in. And I'm still praying for her brothers and sisters. Please continue to pray for her that she will see the need to come back to the Lord. You know, even though she's doing well, we know that just doing well is not good enough in this world. Satan would love to have a whole world full of people that are doing well and forgetting Christ, and just leaving him out of their life. And so I'm just praying that she will see that need, that'll become the one thing that is driving her, is to know Jesus, to allow him to rule her life and to run her life. And Sister, as you were mentioning your text about the new man, and you know how, you know, the new birth, that new birth only comes from Jesus. There's no other way. The Spirit can move upon our hearts and change us, give us that new heart. We don't need a heart that's revived. We need a new heart. We need a heart transplant, and that's what Jesus has offered us. He said, I will take that old heart of stone, and I will give you a new heart of flesh, mm-hmm. one that beats, one that is loving and kind and wants to do his will, which is to be kind and loving to others and to have others' best interest in mind. And, brothers and sisters, this world is just so full of selfishness and hatred and cruelty and just all those things and fear. And every time you turn on the news, somebody's trying to scare the daylights out of us again. You know, this new variant Omicron is going to get you, and if you don't do this and you don't do that, it's going to take you down.
Mm.
Jesus is saying, don't listen to them, don't fear them, because I have overcome this world, and he has overcome the disease, the sicknesses, he has overcome death. There's nobody that can overcome death except for Jesus. So he is waiting to give you that new heart transplant, and we just need to come to him each day. As Sister Powell's mentioning, you know, just come to him and examine ourselves and just ask him, Lord, what is it that I need to put away? What is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to do or not do that will draw me closer to you? And so I just want to pray for Jarvis right now, Sister. If we could all just kneel, we just want to lift up our prayers for your son, and just pray that he'll be healed and the Lord will get the glory, Sister. You know, Jesus is going to get the glory. He's going to get all the glory in the end. So I'm just hoping that in the meantime, we can give him the glory, and others will be able to see that, and it'll point them to him. So let's lift up Brother Jarvis in prayer. Oh, Lord, we just come to you tonight, Father. And I know my sister's heart is hurting because of her son, Lord, the choices that he has made, Lord. Lord, he is a captive of the enemy. And but you have come into this world, Lord. You have redeemed us from sin, from the power of sin, Lord, and just Brother Jarvis hasn't made that choice yet, Lord, but Lord, we just pray that you would move upon his spirit in a mighty way tonight, my Lord, that somehow, some way, Lord, you would be able to reach him. Lord, that you would stir up his spirit within him, Lord, that he would get no rest, he would have no peace, Lord, he would have no joy, no happiness, until
he
makes that choice to come back to you, Lord. Father, there is no joy or peace or happiness without you. Lord, we fool ourselves at times thinking that we can do our own will and be happy. Lord, forgive us. Forgive our sins, O Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O Lord. Keep us from yielding to temptation, Lord. There will be temptation until you come, Lord, but you know that you'll give us the power, the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, your spirit to help us to overcome, O Lord. And that's what we are desiring tonight, is to overcome. We want Jarvis to overcome, O Lord. Please, we lift him up to you. Each person here on the prayer line, Sister Leola, myself, Sister Powell, and all the others that are listening, Lord, we're just lifting him up, just praying that you would reach him tonight, dear Lord. Father, wherever he is at, I don't know exactly. Lord, you know, you see, you hear, you can do all things, oh Lord. So we just leave him in your hands tonight, dear Father, knowing that you are working in a mighty way, in a way that only you can work, that we can't convict, but you can do the convicting, Lord. So convict his heart, oh Lord, tonight, oh Lord, that he would see that there is a change that he can make, that he needs to make, Lord. And Father, we just know that you will answer. You will hear and you will answer this prayer because you are a loving, kind, and gracious, and merciful God, Lord. You desire that no one will perish, that all come to the knowledge of righteousness, the knowledge of salvation, and accept that, O Lord. Please help each one of us to accept that each day, O Lord. Father, sometimes we turn away from you. Father, forgive us for those times. We are weak, but you have the strength. You are strong, and we can abide in that strength and that love, O Lord. So please, Father, be with each person that is listening, Lord. All my brothers and sisters in the prayer line, Father, we just lift them up. And Father, we're grateful for this prayer line that has strengthened many of us, Lord. Without this prayer line, Lord, I don't know where I would be or many others of us would be. We may have turned away by now, Lord, but because of this, because of the brothers and sisters coming on and witnessing and praying for each other, Lord, your spirit has moved in a mighty way. So continue You bless us, Lord. Continue to move upon us in these mighty ways that we would be your children, Lord, your witnesses, your ambassadors to a dying world. Lord, we know that time is short. Father, we just we need your spirit to give us the right words to point others to you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for the messages that we hear here, for the prayers that we hear here, and, Lord, for the love that we feel when we listen to what's going on here. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. And we lift up each one of ourselves and our families to you, Lord, the children, their grandchildren, their parents, whoever that may be in their families, Lord. We just lift them up to you, Lord, and may we be strong in the spirit so that they will see that and want to be part of it. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola. I just want to pray for my my daughter and son-in-law and children in Maryland. They've all either come down with COVID and recovered, or they're in the middle of it right now. Actually, my son-in-law came down with it, and he's recovered. My daughter, she is in the midst of it, but she is doing better today. She hasn't done too badly. She just had some shortness of breath and some things, but now her two children, who seem to be doing really well, have tested positive. And we were supposed to go down last Monday, and we couldn't go because they tested positive, and then we were going to go on Wednesday, and they tested positive again, and now we're supposed to go this Wednesday, and now they tested positive again. So we're just waiting until we can get the good news that they are free of disease. I know the Lord can heal. The Lord can keep them from harm. So just please pray for my daughter, Bonnie Jo, and her husband Matt, and the children. They're all doing well, but we want them to be free of disease so that we can go see them. So I just thank you for all the prayers, sister, and for your hard work of hosting the line, Sister Powell, Sister Leola, always faithful and coming on and hosting. So just thank you very much, and God bless. Thanks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And Brother Rick, you are faithful. You keep being faithful, and the Lord will bless you and your family. But we thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing, and especially you do your part on this prayer line. So we thank you so much. You come in, you share, you do everything. You give the prayers, and you know, as we have been together here for Advent Light Ministry for almost 8 years. Let me tell you something. That is a blessing to stay connected as a group with the Lord. So I say, as long as I live, I will stay right here. I don't let nobody pull me anywhere I'm staying with. I don't like being tossed to and fro. But whatever I started, I like to finish it. I like to stay with it. So by God's grace, I pray that he continually to keep us strong on the prayer line, because as we are strong, people come to this prayer line and they are listening and they are paying attention, because if you've got strong people on the prayer line, then the people have faith to believe that our true and living Savior, Christ, Jesus, he will be the one that's lifted up on this prayer line. So sisters and brothers, we are Sister Leola, Sister Carla, Sister Powell, Brother Rick. Yes, we all was the ones that was started with the prayer line. But let me tell you something. We are not the ones to be lifted, but Christ. And his word is keeping this prayer line, because for all else, this is about Christ. It's nothing about anyone else on this prayer line. So we just think, because we are the supporters, Christ got to have supporters. So by God's grace, let us continue to support the prayer line. So thank you once again, Brother Rick. And we're going to open the line for the next caller. Amen. We open the line for 423. And Sister Carla, if you don't mind, when you're done, to lift Brother Rick up in prayer, we appreciate it. Amen. 423-635, mm-hmm. Your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Leola. Good evening to everyone. Sister Carla calling from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for a new day. I thank him, thanking him for provision, thanking him for his peace, his love, even in the midst of storm and, you know, the chaos that's going on all around us. We need to be wise and learn and know what's going on and protect ourselves mm-hmm. and our family. Only the grace of God with the love, and he has given us things for protection, so he has not left us, you know, alone, but we need to take heed. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of, you know, knowledge. And we refuse to gain knowledge, refuse to listen, and want to trust these evil men, these evil doctors. The ministry of angels, there's a lot of angels in human form, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy, and I've just been crying out to the Lord to draw closer to him and for him to bring me up higher and to get a closer relationship and to warn others, and, you know, so it's been a blessing. I just want to read something right quick before I pray. It says, and this, trying to see the book, this is the fifth testimony. It says, but unless the members of God's church today have a living connection with the source of all spiritual growth, they will not be ready for the time of reaping. Wow. Unless they keep their lamps trim and burning, they will fail of receiving added grace, time of special need, mercy. Those who only are consistently receiving fresh supplies of grace will have power proportionated to their daily need and their ability to use that power instead of looking forward to some future time when through the special endowment of spiritual power, they will receive a miraculous fitting up for soul winning. We brothers and sisters, we all are to be winning souls. Those that win souls are wise. Continue. They are yielding themselves daily to God that he may make them vessels meet for his use. Daily they are improving the opportunity for service that lies within their reach. Amen. Daily they are witnessing for the master. Wherever they may be, whether in some humble sphere of labor in the home, or in a public field of usefulness. Amen. So wherever we may be, we have to be true witness for God to help mankind, to help those that don't know him, to help those that's distressed. So I'll say a word of prayer before I go into work. Kind and loving Father, I thank you ever so much, Lord, for this opportunity I get to come with my brothers and sisters and intervene on the behalf of each other, lift up each other in prayer, encourage each other, Lord, and testify of your goodness, Father. Line that you have kept going for a time such as this, O Lord, few in numbers. But we know, Lord, that people online are listening, O Father. We know that the message will go forth. Lives will be saved, O Lord. Situation will be turned around. And even if we're encouraging each other, Lord, it's a blessing. We're a family. I ask that you will be with Brother Rick and Markwell. I ask that you will protect him and guide him and keep him, O Father, as the head of his household, Lord. Help him, O Father, to be an overcomer. Help him, O Father, to set the right example for his household, Lord. Help him to rightly represent you in his at work, in his business dealing, in his church, and wherever he go, Father. I thank you for his wife, Lord. I ask that you will continue to be with her, continue to touch her heart, that she will open it, O Father, and commit all her mind, her soul, her body to you, O Lord, knowing that you are the supplier of our health and strength, O Lord. Please touch his daughter and her family as they're going through this symptom, O Father. Give them strength and endurance, Lord. May they take the flu bomb. May they take the necessary precaution, oh, Father. We know the 8 laws of health is good, Father, that you have given us to fight these diseases and these problems, oh, Father. But we need to make sure our nutrition, our enzyme level, and our iron, our potassium, our vitamin D, vitamin C, all those things are up, Father. It's a warning to us that we need to get more healthy and be able to endure, Father, in this last day. If we can't keep up with the footmen, how are we going to keep up with the horsemen, oh, Father? Help us to get our body in order, Father, as a living testimony. Thank you for Brother Rick and him helping out, able to give to the prayer line to help foot the bill of keeping the line going, oh, Father. I thank you for blessing him and keeping him. I thank you for supplying all his needs, oh, Father, and each and every one of us, Lord. You are the great provider, the great physician. You are Lord of Lord and King of King, oh, Father. Help us to truly serve you with all our hearts. And if we're not doing it according to your will, show us, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us and mold us and direct us in the way that we should go. We thank you ever so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I one quick testimony. As Sabbath, I went to Brother Henrique. They moved to Georgia, close to Atlanta, Marietta, Georgia, somewhere over there. And as I went to the lunch area, I saw Sister Naomi's mom. And I didn't know I was talking to her. And I was like, is your daughter Naomi? She said, yes. And she was there with her other daughter, Faith. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And I kind of told her. She was like, oh, yeah. And I told the sister, Faith. I said, yeah, I got one of you guys' CD. And, yeah, and I just, you know, I was like, praise the Lord. And she said, just keep Naomi in prayer. You know, she was out of the faith, I guess, married into a Jehovah Witness, but the Lord saw that it was dissolved, but she still, you know, when you get intertwined with that, I don't know, she just need prayer because she haven't came back into the faith, the Adventist faith, but she just need prayer. So keep her in prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Carla, you had something else? Okay, Sister Carla, I would want you to give, can you give that flu bomb to everyone right quick that Sister, Brother Rick wasn't on? Can you give that flu bomb? You remember it? I was looking for it, but I don't have it.
Let me see, the one that Brother Yudi gave?
Yes.
Where's my little purse?
You can come back with it.
Yeah, I'm going.
Or you can text it. Or you can text it. That'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, hold on just a minute, because I'm going into work. I might get busy for a few minutes. I have it here. I'll give it quick.
I'll tell you what. Let me go to the next caller, and you can text it, or I can open your line, and you can give it later.
Okay.
Amen? Okay. All right. Brothers and sisters, we want to thank Sister Carla for the prayer, especially lifting up Brothers Rick's family and everyone else on the prayer line. We want to thank you for bringing Sister Naomi, because we have been praying for Sister Naomi and all the others that goes way back. So we lift them up in prayer. And Sister Powell has been faithful lifting up everybody. So we just want to thank Sister Carla for bringing that little information to us. And we're going to go to the next caller. And then, okay, Sister Carla, we got to lift you up in prayer. I believe you made it to work already, but let us just offer a prayer for Sister Carla right now, that the Lord will continue to be with her and bless her. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again, Father, Sister Carla, I believe she made it to work. Now, Father, we ask him that you be with your daughter, that you surround her with your holy angels to give her protection and keep her. Father, watch over her, Father, because we know that so many things going on in this world, and we just never know what's going to happen in the next second. So, Father, we pray for her that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead her and talk to her, speak to her, and let her know what is going on around her. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, because we do know you love us and you will speak to us in the time of things will happen and you will move us out the way. Oh, Father, thank you, because sometimes when we don't go or when we stay, sometimes the Holy Spirit is holding us back, keeping us out of danger. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you. And I also pray for my sister Brenda as she's on the highway heading back to Homer tonight. She was in Baton Rouge. So, Father, I'm lifting up to you, Father. I'm asking you to send your angels around that vehicle to keep them in perfect peace, Lord, as they travel down to Homer, which is about an hour and a half to 2 hours from here. So, Father, thank you for all these blessings that you've given to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the next caller. Amen. We open the next line up, and that is 985-232. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Baker, but I'm from Homer, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his grace that brought us through. I'm just short of breath. I don't know what's going to move. I'm short of breath. But thank God for watching over us and waking us up. I'm just blessed to say that God is good, and he's been good, and he's been blessing us. We're travel back and forth, but we're making a lot of ways. It's just a slow process with the other ports, but he's good because the house is coming back to normal. But it's the big poor job is in the bedroom. We don't have to use it right now, but it's clean, and so it's just getting back good. So God is good. We're able to do it. And I just want to ask for prayer for that being prayer line. All my brothers and sisters that are missing, all those that are wherever they live, and in the facilities or outdoors or wherever they may be, pray to God, touch them, and keep them in prayer. And we keep one another in prayer and lift one another up, because that's what the Lord would want us to do. So we just want to thank each and every one that come on and pray. And I just want to lift up, forget my brother Yudis and his family and his business. And I pray to God that they're doing fine, which I heard him on the prayer line on Friday. I think it's Friday. And the baby, the little baby that just came here, called Bridget, she's doing wonderful. So I'm going to give it to Brother John and let him speak. And my brother Ray, I wanted to go see him today, but we ended up resting too late, so I ended up missed going to their house. But I'll be back, so, and I'll be in touch with him. So I pray that he gets stronger. And we continue prayers for him, but the Lord will work it out for him. Amen. Brother John.
Yeah, this is Brother John from Homer, Louisiana. Like my wife said, we're stationed right now in Baton Rouge temporarily. As God and work things out for us to come back home permanently. And I can say things going okay, and I just want to hope everyone else is having a having a good day today on whatever part of the world it is. And just know that God comes first. I do a lot, make a lot of decisions, but I know that I put God first, and I also make positive decisions too. I want to hear him say that too. But yeah, I make a lot of positive decisions, and I just put God first as I wake up in the morning, you know, pray to him during the day or before I go to bed at night. because without God, nothing would go right. I tried to go forward without him in the past, and it's a whole new life now, being as a reborn person, because I see it as being born twice, because I was in coma for 13 days, and I was reborn, came out of coma. Then I got baptized with my wife and then got dipped in the water, so it's kind of like I was reborn twice, thank God, you know.
Oh.
And I just want to say that he is an awesome God, and I'm going to keep praising him and sharing his word. God bless. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Power, Brother John wasn't on the prayer line. We were talking about being born again. He wasn't on, but we was just speaking of that earlier, and Brother John wasn't on, and he's just talking about being born again and how he's been born. So I praise God for that, you know, because that's what it's all about. So we just want to thank the Lord for Brother John and Sister Brenda for their testimonies and for being faithful on the prayer line. Ever since Brother John started, they have been faithful. So we give God the praise because he deserves it all. So we thank you once again, and may God give y'all safe traveling mercy. Amen. But we got another one. We need to open their line before Brother Akeem. Sisters and brothers, Brother Akeem will bring us an awesome, a powerful message, a message that we need to embrace and listen and study, and even have you a paper and pencil so you, if you need to take notes or take a question, and if you have any question, please take yourself off the host queue and then put yourself back on for Brother Akeem, and he will answer your question at the end. Amen? So we're going to open this next line, and it's 857-505. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, Sister Power. How are you, beloved brothers and sisters? God is good. He's truly worthy to be praised, Sister Power and Sister Miola. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. I like to thank God because he is worthy to be praised. I like to thank God for his love and mercy because he is good. He's awesome, God. He's a mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, Sister Viola. Sister Viola and Sister Paula have a prayer request at the moment. My prayer request is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer because my mother needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for our dear Brother Jahari because Brother Jahari needs a lot of prayer. Pray for his family to pray for his mother. Pray for his sister, his brothers, lift up Brother Jahari's brothers and sister, and pray for Brother Jahari's family, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, don't forget to lift up Brother Jahari because he needs a Bible study, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I tell Sister Tamiko, I say, Sister Tamiko, my dear sister, did you call Brother Jahari? And she said, yes. She said, yes. We called Brother Jahari, but he needs a Bible study, Sister Miola. He needs like a holy Bible, Sister Miola, to receive a mail. And Sister Miola, you know what the staff say to Sister Tamiko. Excuse me. Do not call the house again. And Sister Tamiko say, may God bless you. May God bless you, my dear. May God bless you because God is able to do all things. Pray for our dear Sister Tamiko, Sister Miola, because I don't want her to be discouraged. I want her to be happy. I want her to have faith in the Lord because God will make a way, Sister Tamiko. Sister Tamiko, do not be concerned because God will make a way. God will save something, Sister Tamiko, because Sister Tamiko, just like Sister Powell say, God is in control, Sister Tamiko. Have faith in the Lord, Sister Tamiko. Keep on praying, Sister Tamiko. Sister Tamiko, do not cry, my dear sister. My dear Sister Tamiko, just just wipe your tears from your eyes, my dear sister. Do not cry.
Yes.
Because Sister Powell say no crying, because you have to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on that on that young man, on that young brother. Say, Lord, have mercy on Brother Jari, Sister Miola, and brothers, sisters. Let's say, Lord, have mercy. Let's say, Lord, have mercy. Let's say, Lord, have mercy on Brother Jari, Lord. Jesus, save him, Lord. Save him, Lord. God bless Sister Miola. Come bless Sister Powell. God, watch over them, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless them, God. God, we want to lift up Brother Taiwan to you, Lord.
Amen.
God, we ask God to come bless them, Lord. Bless Sister Powell, God,
yes.
And Sister Miola, who is hosting, God. Bless them, God, in a special way, Lord. We ask God to break every chain for them, God. We ask God to go bless them, Lord. We ask God to break every chain for them, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Taiwan to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Katie to you, Lord. We ask God to watch over them, Lord. We ask God to cover them, God, with your blood, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Akeem, who's going to preach, Lord. We ask God to allow Brother Akeem to preach the message, your God. God, we ask God to strengthen him, Lord. God, we ask God to give Brother Akeem the strength, Lord. Give him the power, God. Give him deliverance, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask God to break every chain for Brother Akeem James tonight, Lord. Break every chain for Brother Akeem James, Lord. God, break every chain for Sister Miola. Break every chain for Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we want to live for Sister Tamiko on the prayer line tonight, Lord. We ask God to come bless her, Lord. We ask God to wipe her tears, Lord. God, we ask God to wipe Sister Tamiko's tears, Lord. Wipe her tears, God, from her eyes, Lord. Break every chain,
yes,
God, for Sister
yes.
Tamiko. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Jesus. God, Sister
Amen.
Tamiko's crying out to you, Lord. She's crying out to you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord Almighty. Holy Lord Almighty. God bless Sister Tamiko. Bless everyone, God. Bless everyone, God, in the prayer like God. Watch
Thank
over everyone,
you,
God. Watch over everyone, God. Bless Sister Power, God. Break every chain for Sister Power, God. Break every chain for Sister Tamiko. Break every chain for Sister Miola. God bless everyone. God bless us, God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sister Miola, please lift up Brother Jari in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. But you know what, Brother Jahari? We're gonna ask
Brother
Sister
Eli.
Mika, could she give us a song? And you know what,
Brother Jahari,
Eli. That will make her happy. Brother Eli, sorry. That will make Sister Tamika happy. We want to make Sister Tamika happy. He done prayed for Sister Tamika. So, Sister Tamika, would you like to sing a song for us tonight? Can you get a song for us? Can you press 1? I want to make sure you're able to sing the song, Sister Tamika. We're going to open your line. We're going to see if you can sing a song for us tonight. Amen? Amen? Let's open, Sister Tamika. Sister Tamika, we want to know if you can give us a song for tonight. Okay. Okay, sisters and brothers, Sister Tamika, if she in the spirit, if she feel up to it, she'll press 1 and give us a song, because sometime, she might be feeling a little, but we're going to pray. Let us offer a word of prayer for her and her family and others on the prayer line. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you once again, Father, to lift up Sister Tamika to you, her family. We lift up her children, Father, her husband. And Father, you know, as Brother Eli has requested a prayer for Sister Tamika, Lord, Father, she has probably tried to talk with someone for Brother Eli, but Father, we do know and understand the things that go on because we have tried. So, Lord, we ask that you don't let Sister Tamika be despaired or sad or anything because sometimes people just don't want to have that time with certain people just yet. But, Lord, but let her know that you love her and that you love them too. But it's that, it's the timing, it's their timing. They may not be ready, but, Father, we lift them up to you. We lift Sister Tamika up to you, Brother Eli, his mother. Lord, we all our brothers and sisters are lifted up to you tonight, Father, because there's no other to lift up, but only to you, Father, to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Because, Father, you are the one to answer and to give prayers and to let us know what you have done for us. You have paved the way, Father, for our sins by giving your only begotten Son. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, because he, Lord, he has died for all of us, and now he's giving us a chance to be born again. And he said we must be born of the Spirit, of the water and the Spirit. And as we are coming to him as his brothers and sisters, we ask in him to continue to strengthen us, lead and guide us. Oh, Father, we praise you for all the things that you have done, given to us and done for us. And now, Lord, we pray for Brother Akeem that's coming on the prayer line. Lord, he's bringing a message. He's bringing the word of God. You said that we must go out and preach and teach this word that would help and minister to the hearts people, and that they can turn from their wicked ways and serve you. And, Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for continually to impress upon us. We need you. You don't need us. But, Father, as we turn to you, let us put all our trust in your hand. And, Father, and then we are blessed just to stay there. Thank you once again. Blessing Sister Power. Blessing Brother Rick. Blessing on his family. Blessing Sister Brenda and Brother John. All of our families, Father, Brother Eli, blessing the ones that didn't ask for prayers, the ones that are silent, Lord, asking you to bless them also, their family. Lord, Father, Sister Carla, request a prayer for Sister Naomi, Lord, a sister and a faithful sister that was on the prayer line, Lord. You know her heart, and we ask him that you touch her and save her from herself. Save all of us, Father, from self, and because self must die. So, Lord, help us right now as you continue to have patience and long-suffering with us. Oh, thank you, Father. Be with Brother Akeem tonight, Lord. We ask you to overshadow him with the power that's on high, and that he may preach this word with power, and that each and every one of us may be convicted to serve you with a loving and a tender heart as you have given to us, because we don't want a heart of stone. Oh, Father, thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for sharing and for testifying and songs. No songs haven't been sung tonight. Oh, mercy. Let us see if Brother Akeem is on tonight. If not, amen. Brother Akeem is on. We was going to ask Sister Powell to do a little short song, but Brother Akeem is ready for the message. So as the Lord has blessed and helped us in this Holy Spirit, we're going to open the line for Brother Akeem so he can bring the message for tonight. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you know, as always, is get your paper and your pencil, and Brother Akeem will bring us the word tonight. And your line is open, our brother. Amen.
All right, amen. Well, praise the Lord that we can be back together again this Sunday, and pray that as we go over the message this evening that your hearts will be blessed and by the word of the Lord. And let's just have a word of prayer as we come in. Father, bless our minds and our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. Jesus Christ, amen. All right. So, we've covered Revelation chapter 18. We covered Revelation chapter 17. We saw the work of the harlot in uniting with the kings of the earth, Babylon the Great, which is a reference to the papacy, and Babylon in general, a reference to the papal system and her daughters, or the churches that return to her in doctrine and practice. And so as these churches unite with her, as the kings of the earth, the civil leaders of the world unite with her, and also as the merchants of the earth, the rich men of the world unite with her, the result will be that this worldwide confederacy that happens between the papacy, the kings of the earth, and the rich men of the world, and the churches that return to her, that confederacy will be united against God's people. At the same time, while this is happening, God's people are doing what work, and why is Babylon united against the people of God? And this is what we ever have to realize, remember, the devil brings about this confederacy to set up not only his kingdom in the earth, to establish it, but he sets up this confederacy, all of this, to snuff out the people of God. This is some serious stuff. All this entire confederacy is so that the devil thinks that in numbers he will have victory, despite the fact that throughout history he has ever lost many times as God worked through a few. And in the end of time, while it will be a few friends, in light of the greater picture, it will be that many will be worked through by God, the Holy Spirit working upon their hearts to bring forth the final message. And this is what we find in Revelation chapter 18. In Revelation 18, we find the final revival. It is because the devil sees the sparks of this revival coming, that when he sees that it becomes more definite, more defined, that he will cause this union to take place with the powers that he has control over in the world that we just covered. The devil sees the revival coming, and as a result of seeing the revival coming, Great Controversy tells us that in anticipation of this coming revival, he will send a false revival upon the churches. But why does this happen? This happens because he begins to see the sparks of the truth. So notice what sparks the seriousness of the end time persecution. It is because the devil sees a people getting ready. Just the sparks, along with his knowledge of the prophecies, is enough for him to say, you know what? I'm going to do a work now so that I can engulf the world in deception, so that many will be lost, that my faith will be shared by millions of others. And so what does God do? This is the reason why God was bringing the true revival. He was bringing the true revival that Satan anticipated. He's going to bring it. Why? Because he doesn't want people to share the faith of Satan. He doesn't want people to share the ultimate end of Satan. He wants them to be saved forever. Remember, according to the words of Jesus, hell was not made for men. Ultimately, the executive judgment that takes place after the millennium, in which the fire falls from heaven, that judgment was specifically made for the devil and his angels. The reason that men partake of this coming judgment, in the executive judgment, is because they chose to side with the devil and his fallen angels, if that makes sense. So what we're seeing so far is that as this, just before and as this confederacy is taking place, this confederacy of evil, what's happening? Revelation chapter 18 is happening. The loud cry is going forward. The strong voice of the fourth angel, which we read last week from verses 1 to 4. Verse 5 tells us, for her, Babylon's sins have reached unto heaven. So there's a call to come out of Babylon, as we covered last week. Verses 1 and 1 is a revelation of God's love, the law uplifted, and the gospel, Calvary, is uplifted. The world sees a demonstration of love from the church of God, from the people of God, God's true faithful. And then, as this happens, then the true faithful, when they finally open their mouths, a message comes forth. The system that you are in, the same people that they were demonstrating the love of God to, they then tell them, hey, this system, now that their hearts are open, due to that revelation of self-sacrifice on the part of the remnant, the people's hearts are now open, and as their hearts are open, the cry goes out, Babylon, that system you're in, is fallen. It is filled with demonic forces, and the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And not only that, not only the kings, but the rich men, the merchants of the earth, are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, therefore, come out of that system. Come out of this agenda. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she had filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. And of course, you know why she's saying that, right? It's because she's confederating. She's committing fornication with the kings of the earth. But the reason she's saying she's not a widow is because the devil at the end of time, he's not going to come through the paradigm of atheism. The devil is going to come through the paradigm of Christianity. Working through the papacy, he will cause men to think that this system, the papal system, along with the other churches that are confederating with the papal system, they will cause the world to think that they are united to Christ. This is one of the reasons why she says, I sit a queen. I am no widow. I'm not a widow. Why does she say that? Because she's giving the people the idea that she's still married to the Son of God, that she has a connection to Christ. And the world, if they don't take up their Bibles, if people do not take up the Bible, they will fall for that trick. The enemy at the end of time will work through the papal system and the fallen churches to cause the kings of the earth, the rich men of the world, and the masses to believe that she is connected to Jesus, that she's not a widow, when really the truth is very far from that. Verse 8 says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day because of this deception, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. They're hoping that they don't get a part in it, but they are going to get a part in it. We read, so keep your fingers there in verse 10. This is what we read about the kings of the earth in Revelation chapter 6 at the time when Christ returns. Do you know what we read about them? Revelation chapter 6, verses 14 onward. It states there concerning the kings of the earth, we read, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and here it is, and the kings of the earth and the great men, here's the merchants, and the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Why? It says, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The very Lamb that they thought the papal system was united with, they realized the papal system was the exact opposite of Christ, and it was not connected with him. That in committing fornication with the kings, who themselves are crying out for mercy, and to be hid by the rocks, that in the papacy confederating with them to force men to worship against the dictates of their conscience, these men will now suffer the same consequence as the papal system. They perish with the system itself at the second coming of Christ. It says, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. According to Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1, the wrath of the Lamb is none other than the seven last plagues. So it starts off with the first plague and climaxes with the seventh plague that takes place at the second coming, the coming of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to what? To stand. So now in light of that, we go back to Revelation chapter 18 now in verse 10. And so we're seeing, whoa, even though the kings of the earth are standing afar off thinking they're going to escape, no, they end up being impacted by the plagues because they too receive, in confederating with the harlot, they receive the mark of the harlot, which is the mark of the beast. So it says in verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. In other words, they're like, how, they're looking and they're seeing this mighty city, but they're seeing its destruction. It says, and the destruction is quick. It says, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In other words, as sudden as the confederacy was made, as quick as it was made, it ended. It only lasted for a short time. This is one of the ways that we know that the time of trouble will be nowhere near in its duration, in its length. The final time of trouble will be nowhere close to the time of the Dark Ages. Dark Ages, that period lasted over 1,260 years. When it comes to the final end time moment of the time of trouble, both the little and the great time of trouble, friends, it will be way, 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 way shorter. We don't know exactly how short, but we know it will be very short. We don't exactly know how many days or probably even years, but we know that it's going to be much shorter. It's going to be much shorter because the people who go through it, some of them, among them, the group called the 144,000, they make it all the way through the time of trouble, through the great time of trouble. Some of them, of course, existing even in the little time of trouble. They make it through, and as God decides whether they live or he lays them to rest in the grave, if he decides to keep them alive, they live all the way through, not just the little time, but the great time of trouble up until the second coming. So this is very short time period, all right? So in light of this, now we go back to verse 11. So one situation is where the kings of the earth see the system that they united themselves with, live deliciously with the papacy, meaning they lived in wealth with the papal system. And it's not that wealth is bad, but it's how they gained that wealth. They lived in wealth with the papacy, hence the Bible uses the word deliciously in verse 9. They lived in wealth with the papacy at the expense of the masses. And this is, friends, this is what happened during the Dark Ages, right? The Dark Ages, if you look at the reformers, these guys were so into issues of justice. It was powerful. As you read the book Great Controversy, you see there's a similarity between Martin Luther, John Wycliffe, John Calvin, John Wesley, John Huss, Jerome, Melanchthon, Zwingli, all of these guys. You know, one of the major things that they had in common? It was not just that they called out the erroneous doctrines of the papal system, but they also blasted the papal system because they took from the poor, they took from the masses in order to build the great cathedrals, in order to build the great edifices, the basilicas that they built. They built it on the backs of the masses that they ruled over. In other words, they oppressed the people, took money from the people, telling them that they would die in their sins unless they did indulgences, unless they did penance. And so they gave their money to that work of receiving forgiveness, thinking that they could buy the forgiveness of God. And as they did this because they were deceived by the papacy, that system would get the money along with the dukes that worked in, that confederated with them, and the kings of Western Europe that confederated with the papacy, and they lived deliciously in that time off the backs of the poor. And so, friends, it will be at the end of time that this will happen again, but now on a worldwide level. But it only lasts for so long, right? As we're reading, it's going to be very short. That confederation is going to be a mighty confederation. People will lose their lives who oppose that confederation. But friends, it will be short. And this is why one of the reasons why God makes it short as well is because it's going to be like a time of trouble such as never was. Even though the Dark Ages was bad, friends, it's almost like compared to drawing out something for 1,000 years, think of that Dark Age taking place in a shorter period of time. All of that taking place within a short period of time, it will be much more intense, along with the enemy bringing out his final batteries of ammunition to fight against the saints. It's going to be really intense. So we have the kings, but not only do the kings see, whoa, this wealth and this glory we're experiencing, it's short-lived. Not only will the civil rulers see that, civil leaders see that, verse 11 tells us another group sees it. It says, and the merchants, that's the rich men. We just read about them in Revelation 6, verse 14 and 15. It says, the rich men, the merchants of the earth, those who traded on behalf of Babylon to make her wealthy, and who themselves gain wealth from Babylon, along with the kings of the earth, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys her merchandise, here it is, anymore. The merchandise of gold, and check out what it is, right? Because you remember, in Revelation chapter 13, what do we see here? No man could buy or sell, lest he receive the mark of the beast, right? But times have become so dire, friends. It has become so bad. But by this time, as the message is going out, there comes a point where it closes. This is why this is part of the loud cry, all that we're reading here. Usually we focus on verses 1 to 4. But at the end of time, the message will go forth to the world that this is what's going to happen. The power of the papacy confederated with the kings of the earth and the rich men of the world will be short-lived. That's what people will begin seeing. As the world begins to see this confederacy forming, the saints will be proclaiming and uplifted the crucified and risen Savior while telling the people the very system that they're placing hope in, this very confederacy that they're seeing that's happening, and that no one will be able to buy or sell unless they agree with this confederacy. The saints will be telling the world this confederation will be short-lived. It will only last for so long. People will be, in a sense, enriched only for a certain time. And then it's going to be gone. The merchandise to the point that people no longer buy from the system anymore. And what was the merchandise it had? It says, verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and the pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots. Check this out. This is how we know slavery is coming back. And slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, just like the kings of the earth, that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, just like the kings of the earth said, the merchants say, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. So this is some serious stuff that's taking place here. So the city, what's going to happen is that the papacy, there's coming a point where the Bible is revealing to us that the papacy will fall. The papal system, along with the Protestant, apostate Protestant systems that joined at the papacy, along with the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth, will all suffer from the collapse of this colossal system called the Vatican, called the papal system. This is what Revelation chapter 18 is revealing to us, is part of the loud cry. And friends, this is also delineated in Daniel 11, right? Because the loud cry is in Daniel 11. Daniel 11, go with me there, Daniel 11 and verse 44, right? Verses 41 to 43, we see the riches accumulating, right? We see the riches of Babylon accumulating. It actually mentions in verse 42, it says, he, speaking of the king of the north, the papacy, when it's finally united with apostate Protestantism, which it didn't have the allegiance of during the Dark Ages, Protestantism was completely opposed to the papal system, but at the end of the world, it will be completely united to it. And once that unity happens, the papal system, united with apostate Protestantism, along with this, as the time comes close, we see, as inspiration tells us, that Satan himself will come on the scenes, seeking to deceive people and by appearing as Christ, deceiving those who are already deceived, and seeking to deceive those who aren't studying. At this time, this whole unit, this whole gamut, is pronounced under the word he. He shall stretch forth his hand, of course the papacy leading out, Satan behind the scenes, he shall stretch forth his hand, king of the north, also upon the countries. The stretching forth of the hand in scripture is a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of power. And now you remember, what is the papacy symbol of authority? Of course, it's the mark. The mark of the beast, which the Bible reveals and history tells us that it is none other than Sunday worship legislated. After we finish this series, I'm going to start off another series covering that. Some deep stuff in light of the work that we are called to. He shall stretch forth his hand. So we're talking about the Sunday law now. Also upon the country. So this is where we're seeing the Sunday law going from national, United States, to international. Hence we find the plural of country. Countries. So he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt, symbol of the king of the south, the territory of the south, that's atheism, shall not escape. So we're finding out that there's coming a time where religion will take over the entire world. A false version of Christianity will one day take over the world. Because what do we find here happens to Egypt, a symbol of the kingdom of the south, which is a symbol of atheism? We're finding out that it will be swept right under the papacy. The wave of the Sunday law will overtake even the papal system. And people are wondering, how could this happen? Friends, for the atheist, seeing is believing. And think about the miracles that will be happening at that time, not just among God's people, but among Satan and his angels in the fallen churches. Hence it says that the churches are filled with every foul spirit, a cage of unclean and hateful birds. So much deception and miracles will be taking place. And think about the next step in the miracle. Satan himself appearing as Jesus Christ, working the same miracles that he worked, and then saying, the Sabbath has been changed. Friends, the whole world is going to join. The atheist will join. This is why the major thing that we should be looking for is the aspect of after God's people being ready is the work of apostate Protestantism united with the papal system and spiritualism. Atheism, Marxism, and socialism, these are not the end-time threats. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy reveals that the Sunday law will sweep over the nations from the United States. That's from the time it goes forth from the U.S. There are many looking at Sunday laws being passed and unions being made between the popes, between the Pope and the Arabs, and they're saying, whoa, this is it. It's over. Everything's done, friends. Remember the prophecy. While these things may show maybe a harbinger of things to come, this is not it. It's when the United States of America legislates a Sunday law for strictly religious purposes along with other agendas. Friends, that's when this thing is going to start off nationally. That's when it becomes the mark of the beast, and it then spreads everywhere. But now notice what it says. Here's where the riches comes in, as we read in Revelation 18. But he, the king of the north, shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. We just read about that in Revelation 18. And over all the precious things of Egypt. Even the atheists will give their riches over to the papal system. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings, check it out now. So we talk about the riches. So as this confederation is happening, as the papacy is getting control over the whole world, united with apostate Protestantism, the kings of the earth, the rich men of the world, the masses who those rich men and the kings rule over are all turning to the papal system, all of a sudden Revelation 18 reaches its climax. But tidings out of the east and out of the north. That's the loud cry. That's Revelation 18. That's Revelation 18 in the Old Testament in Daniel 11. But tidings, that is the good news. News out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Both directions, by the way, in Scripture are symbols of where God's presence dwells. Right? You remember Satan sought to ascend on the sides of the north, the place where God and the congregation in the sides of the north dwell, meaning the angels. But not only that, the east, if you read the book of Ezekiel, it actually tells us that the glory of the Lord is manifested in the east. Not only that, we read in Revelation chapter 7, the same thing. When the angel ascends with the sealing message and tells the other angels to hold, he ascends from the east. Some translations even have it. The original Greek, I remember my friend and I, we were studying the passage, and it was so interesting as we were studying the passage. He's from China, and his Bible was translating the passage from Mandarin to English. And when it translated Revelation chapter 7, the part where it says the angel ascending from the east, the word east was translated as sun rising. So in other words, it's a bright, this thing is going to be bright. It rises in obscurity, but it becomes bright as the sun, even brighter, I would say. Hence the verse, when translating from Mandarin, it actually reads, and I saw an angel ascending from the sun rising. Uriah Smith also uses it. Ellen White also uses that same word when describing the angel that rises from the east. You can read that in Testimonies for Ministers and Gospel Workers, page 444, paragraph 3. But it says there, but the tidings out of the east and out of the north, meaning coming from God's presence, the message, the final message, shall trouble the king of the north. Therefore, what shall he do? He shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. That's now the time of trouble now intensifying. And what shall he do? What will be his last-ditch effort? His last-ditch effort is going to be this. Verse 45, and he, speaking of the king of the north, united with the people system, united with the kings of the earth, united with the merchants of the world who have control and influence over the masses, says he shall plant the tabernacles. Tabernacles is a religious term for God's dwelling place. So he shall set churches, but notice what it says here. He shall plant the tabernacles, that's religious,
of his palace. That's temporal, meaning that's the civil realm now. When you think of a tabernacle, you think of religious services. Of his palace, you think of kings. So really what we're reading here is that the papacy will begin to set up its territory. In other words, what's the word for that? How can we say it? It will begin to plant and replicate itself, as it is already doing in the world, but even more intensely, to a greater intensity at this time, it will begin to set up its church-state system, right? Tabernacles of his palace. Its church-state system. Its religio-political power. It will begin to establish where it says between the seas, that's the people, because who's the loud cry going to? The loud cry is going to the people, right? So what does the papacy seek to do? It seeks to get in the way. Hence it reads, and he, king of the north, shall plant the tabernacles of his palace, his church-state systems, between the people, the seas. Now it says they're in the glorious holy mountain. But when you read the actual Hebrew of Daniel 11, this is how it reads. It says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas against the holy, against the glorious holy mountain. So the word there can actually be translated in or against. So he plants his church state systems between the seas, against the glorious holy mountain. And that's a symbol of God's final people. In other words, the reason he does this is because he doesn't want the loud cry to have such an effect that it draws people. So what does he do? He says, I will get in the way. I will set up the church state systems to force people to worship against the dictates of their conscience, lest they lose their lives. I will set those systems up between the message that God's people will be giving at this time that they're seeking to bring the message to. But when this happens, and the devil does this through the papal system, along with the powers that it's confederated with, the Bible says when, and this is when it reaches to its height, friends, this is when it starts getting to its climax. What happens? It says, just as it told us in Revelation 18, it's short-lived. This entire confederacy is short-lived. Why? Because it says, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. How? How is this done? Because, chapter 12 and verse 1 of Daniel, at that time, at what time? When the papacy finally has its system spread throughout the world against the message of God. It is at that time, yes. Michael says, enough.
Michael will stand up.
And he stands up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. This is now talking about the great time of trouble, right? Because when Michael stands up, probation has closed. The little time of trouble has passed. The great time of trouble is now about to begin. Michael stands up. It says, there shall be. Now, look at how it describes this time of trouble. It says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And that is the book of life. All right? So this is powerful. We're seeing the result of the glad tidings going to the world is that it divides the entire world, bringing the world to a point where it makes its decision to either receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast. Once that happens, the papacy says, in light of this now, the papacy says, I don't want any more people to be influenced. Of course, everybody has already heard the message. But the papal system now sets itself up and establishes itself everywhere and says to the people, destroy this group that's giving this message. Michael interrupts. He stands up. And friends, you remember, even though during the little time of trouble as we close, the people of God during the little time of trouble, they will give their lives in order to glorify this message, to show the message is true that they're giving. And people will come. The blood of martyrs will be as a seed planted in the hearts and minds of many who are still on the verge of whether they should follow this papal system and its agenda, or they should follow Christ, whether they should follow apostate Protestantism or Christ. And so as this now happens, it comes to a climax. Everyone makes their decision. Michael stands up. The great time of trouble begins. But when this time, great time of trouble begins, the good news is, even though it will be more intense than any previous time of trouble for God's people in all of history, not one of God's people will perish during that time. During the great time of trouble, from the time Michael stands up to the time he returns, not one saint perishes. Because why? There's no more reason for anyone to die. Everyone has made their choice. So no more does the blood of martyrs need to be spilled, that it might be a seed watering the faith of some who are on the fence. Now everyone has made their choice, and even though the trouble has intensified, not one saint perishes. Friends, this is the powerful truth that we're seeing in the prophecies. And so as we close, I pray that that made sense. We will continue next week by God's grace. All right, with that, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you will cause us to be ready for this time. I pray, Lord, that you will bring us into a deep love relationship with you today. Lord, not just in light of what we studied, but just because, Lord, you want us to experience your love. You're designed to save every one of us, to cause us to stand during the times that we live in. And if you should keep us to the second coming, to stand through the times ahead. But Lord, I pray that above all else, we would be faithful. Keep us faithful to you.
Chapter 5, consecration.
In Jesus Christ's name.
God's promise is,
amen.
Ye shall...
Go ahead, Brother Akeem. I don't know what happened there. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I'd actually ended. I had said amen, so no worries.
Okay. Well, thank you. Brothers and sisters, we have gotten a lot of information there. And before Brother Akeem started this, I wanted to ask him how was he going to tie this into Daniel 41 and through 45. And as he started to mention this, I was going to ask him about the king of the north and the king of the south. And when he started telling us how this was going to tie in, I was reading 42 that, my husband at the door. Oops, sorry about that. Yes, I was looking at 42, Brother Akeem, asking that how you was going to tie in verse 42, the king of how he was going to stretch his hand across the Gulf. Wait, it's not the Gulf. Hold on, let me get back to it because I was distracted there. Okay. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon countries. And as I was reading that while you was going over Revelation, and I said, now, what is this? How is that going to apply? How he's going to tie that in with this? So praise God you tied it in and given us an understanding. And if anyone have any question, you can take yourself off and put yourself back on the host queue. You tied it in that he's going to stretch his hand towards the countries, and as he stretches hands towards the country, the land of Egypt will not escape too. Now, when you say the reason why the land of Egypt will not escape, because Egypt was, at that time, Egypt was a atheist, and say, for instance, they wasn't against Rome, but they wasn't, you know, for them, but they wasn't against or preaching against. You know how atheists, how the church practice all these things and they're not saying anything against Rome, but yet they are atheists. So because they are not speaking against them and the one that are speaking. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I think I'm on mute. Oh, okay, cool. All right.
You're
great.
On mute?
So.
Oh, hold on.
No.
No, you're not on mute.
Okay. So state that one more time.
So I was wanting to ask you how you can tie it in what you were studying us with Revelation, how you can tie Daniel 42, 43, 44, and 45 into this information, and then you begin to tie it in. And I can, and as you begin to tell us how he will stretch his hand also up on the countries, which different countries other than the United States. And you said that Egypt will not escape. And I was saying how he's going to say Egypt won't escape, because Egypt is an atheist country, whatever, but they don't speak against Rome because they had some similarities, because they had idols worship. They worship idols and all that. So you saying that Egypt wouldn't escape, and by them going to give over to Rome also, they're going to all have to give over to Rome. And because they were atheists is what I'm saying, the Bible is saying that they are not one that was going to have to Rome will have to take them, but they won't escape either. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to,
right.
I understand what you've given us, but I may not be explaining it right, but I understand it. So I just wanted you to tie it in there, how all that message. And I see, and I thank you, too, also for giving us that 43, how the power and the treasure of gold and silver and all these precious things that Egypt have, Libyan and Ethiopian, they have all these things, and how the church will cause all that to be theirs, because it's nothing nobody going to own. They're going to take everybody's stuff to cause them wealthy, to make them wealthy. So I just was saying I'm thankful that you brought it all, you tied it all in. So if anybody else have any questions, that's all I want to say, you tied it in. And at the end of it, you showed us how he's going to plant the glad tidings. And I looked it up as you was reading, but the tiding out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. I looked that up. It says the glad tiding out of the east. You know, that's the good news. The good news is like the like Christ or the gospel, and it's gonna trouble him, because I said, oh wow, look at that! That was a blessing to know that this message is gonna be preached, and it will trouble him because it's actually revealing everything about him. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and now it's showing his nakedness, and he began to say, "Oh no, we can't do this any longer. We got to wrap this up." So as you brought it home to say how he's gonna plant these things between the seas, oh praise God! I'm glad you finished it. I'm gonna let someone else have any questions, brothers and sisters. I was just trying to ask Brother Akeem how he was going to tie this up, and now I'm understanding this a little bit better. I hope that you got it also. And as we see how the last thing going to end up is that he ain't going to have no other choice. Everything going to come to an end for him, because then the prince shall stand up for his people. And Brother Akeem, you do a very good job at bringing this in for us. And if anybody else have a question, I see all hands up. But if anybody want to take themselves off and then let me know you have a question. But if not, we can close out and just say thank you to Brother Akeem. And Brother Akeem, I have one question for you. Can you tell us the king of the king of the north and the king of the south? Give us specifically who is the king of the north?
Okay, so the king of the north, you can hear me, right, Sister Leola?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so the king of the north, you trace it all the way back. This is one of the reasons, for a few months last year, I decided to go back and look over all of Daniel 11 and study it verse by verse. And once you start coming down to the end, especially by the time you reach verse 40, the king of the north is a symbol. So it's a symbolic place because the north was known as the territory of Babylon. And as time went along, it became the territories that took over Babylon, like Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome. So by the time you get to verse 40, you're talking about Papal Rome. It says at the time of the end, and we understand that prophetically, the time of the end is referring to the time of the end of papal persecution. So this is in reference to the 1,260-year period coming to an end. So when it says at the time of the end, it's referring to 1798. At the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at the king of the north, meaning push at him. And we know that that happened in 1798.
Okay. Who was the king of the south that was pushing to the north?
So the king of the south that pushed against the papacy in 1798 was none other, we are told, in the Book of Great Controversy, and also historically, it was none other than atheism in the nation of France, the French Revolution.
Okay. And give me that page in Great Controversy.
So this is in the chapter of the Great Controversy known as the Bible and the French Revolution. That's, let me get the exact chapter for you. Bible and the French Revolution is found, chapter 15. Of the Great Controversy. And she actually 15. Says it there, like, very clearly. Like, she says atheism was symbolized under this power that we're talking about here.
Okay. Okay, so the South pushed towards the North, and he gave him more power.
Well, no, the South, when pushing against the North, basically France, under the leadership of Napoleon sent in his general Berthier to take the Pope captive because they hated, the Bible and the French Revolution chapter actually mentions that because of all the papal persecution that took place throughout the Dark Ages, France, one of the most ardent supporters of the papacy, finally said, you know what, we're tired. And they pushed back at the papacy, took the Pope captive, took away the civil power of the papacy, from which it has still not fully recovered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming. The recovery is coming.
Okay. Now, I hope everybody got that. Yes. Well, thank you for giving us that information because you had given us so much there. We needed to kind of know exactly about the king in the south and the king in the north, how they played this part in this last from 42 to 44. Now we got it. So thank you once again. And we can also go back and read Great Controversy, the Bible, what you said, the what? France?
Bible and the French Revolution.
The Bible and the French Revolution. And the France Revolution. Okay, I got it now.
Okay.
All right. We want to thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message that you brought to us, giving us a good understanding of it. And we want to thank the brothers and sisters for sharing and for supporting the prayer line and especially that God is blessing us on this prayer line to be able to get this information and learn it, because we're going to need to understand this for these days and not be ignorant. But praise God, brothers and sisters, that we got this information. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to continue to be with you guys and keep us. And as we learn this, maybe we can help somebody else to know it. And we just want to close out in prayer. So our Father, which art in heaven, as you have allowed your Son to bring us this information concerning the King of the South and the King of the North, and how they both have caused so much havoc in this controversy here. But that's one thing about it, that these kings have come to an end, and Christ is going to stand up and finish this work, because when it's done, Christ's going to save his people. So, Father, we thank you, and we also ask that you be with each and every one of us as we go to sleep tonight, and we ask you to watch over us, take care of us, and keep us through the next day. And we thank you all for all this. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and have a good night. Amen. Thank you once again, Brother Akeem. You have a blessed day. Night.
Same. Thank you.
From God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Holy Son of God, a little child. From the azure halls of heaven,
brothers and sisters. Thank you, and you have a good night.